Talks are continuing today to restore power sharing at Stormont. It's understood the parties will focus discussions on a future programme for government and sustainability of a future executive, with civil servants expected at those talks. But one thing which might have changed is Sinn Féin's demand for that stand-alone Irish Language Act. On yesterday's Evening Extra, Sinn Féin negotiator Conor Murphy was asked if it was still a Sinn Féin red line.
We will continue to negotiate until such times as we have something to either recommend to the party or the negotiations have run their course. We are here determined to reach an agreement. We think there is a recognition now that rights need to be protected, and that includes rights of Irish language speakers as well. And we welcome that sense that is now agreed. What we need to do now is get the structures right in and around that and get all of these matters agreed.
Does there have to be a standalone Irish Language Act before you'll sign off on any deal?
What I said to you, Seamus, is the negotiation isn't concluded. I don't want to repeat the cliche that Geoffrey had to use, is that we're not going to negotiate on the airwaves. But the reality is the negotiations aren't concluded. They can be concluded quickly. I welcome the fact that people recognise now that Irish language speakers deserve rights, need their rights protected. Let's get the right vehicle for sorting all of that out and make sure the content of that is very important.
It's very noticeable that you are not saying tonight, as has been said so many times before by Sinn Féin, that it has to be a standalone act. You're not saying that tonight.
Well, what I'm saying to you is I'm in the middle of a negotiation and I will conclude the negotiation. We'll decide whether what we have is satisfactory or not. What I'm saying is that there is a recognition now by all parties, including the DUP, that the rights of Irish language speakers need to be protected. We need to ensure that the content of legislation is substantial enough to do all of that, and we need to make sure that the vehicle for that is correct.
On the line we have the commentators and journalists Newton Emerson and Amanda Ferguson. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Let's start with you, Newton. Do you think has their stance shifted slightly?
No, it hasn't. This is exactly what happened in the 2018 draft deal. Sinn Féin and the DUP almost agreed to Irish language legislation, and they fudged this issue of whether it should be standalone or combined with Ulster Scots by proposing three pieces of interlinked legislation, one for Irish, one for Ulster Scots, and then a third Respecting Languages and Culture Act. And the three of them related to each other and were to be implemented in phases together, so that the question of whether there was a standalone or combined act would be so confusing that nobody would really understand it. This is to be an incomprehensible sort of bundling together of all these issues by design. And that's probably, well, in fact, I would say that's definitely what's on the cards again, which is absolutely fine. This is the most ridiculous political argument I think Northern Ireland has seen in years. It's a willy waving contest, frankly, between the DUP and Sinn Féin. There's no
really?
Reason not.
That's
no
how you perceive this, Newton Emerson. I'm not repeating that line, but that's what you think.
There's no reason not to have a standalone Irish Language Act. But there's also no reason to have a standalone Irish Language Act. As Sinn Féin sources said yesterday, if it walks like a duck, you know, if it delivers the services that Irish language speakers want, then what difference does it make? Now, I mean, the fact that the two parties have been able to come to some kind of a fudge where it won't make any difference, I think, should be fair enough.
But do you understand that the difficulty does come when those parties try and sell it to their base voters, try and tell them this is a good idea and they should be happy that it's arrived?
Well, yes, they're both going to have a problem with that. However, I think that Sinn Féin has priced in disappointment to some extent from the Irish language lobby, because what some parts of the Irish language sector want, it's undeliverable. They wanted job quotas, they wanted all services immediately available bilingually, and Sinn Féin was never going to agree to that. I mean, it's a bit of a misnomer to think that Sinn Féin brought this red line in itself. An Irish Language Act was not an initial Sinn Féin red line. It was something that they had forced upon them by the Irish language sector, which put this issue on the table itself and promoted it very strongly in the first 3 months of Stormont's collapse. Sinn Féin's initial red line was that Arlene Foster would stand down. So the Irish language thing is a little bit misunderstood. Sinn Féin was always ready to make this compromise on it. They made this compromise in 2018. The DUP walked away from it. I think that if the DUP has managed to get this compromise again, despite having walked away from it last time, that is a very good deal for the DUP, and they would be very unwise to reject it again.
Amanda?
Yeah, this pisses some crack. It's for me, it's less important on what the legislation is called than what it actually does. And my understanding is that the DUP and Sinn Féin are sort of keeping their cards close to their chest on this one, even with regard to the other parties as well. It will come out some way that makes it seem like everyone's a winner, and as it should do as well, because as Newton says, like, this is a ridiculous thing to be stalling government over. I know it's not the only issue, but it is one of the issues that's been at the heart of the impasse. And for me, it represents more than just, you know, language legislation for the number of people that want to be able to use the Irish language. It's about the bigger picture, about relationships between the two big parties, about respect for British and Irish culture and identity on an equal basis in Northern Ireland. But I imagine that it'll be kept top secret until the very last moment to avoid perhaps what could be described as outside influences getting at it.
Newton Emerson, I think it was yesterday I was reading this article from yourself in the Irish Times regarding a possible new leadership type role for Conor Murphy within Sinn Féin. Tell me more about that.
Well, Conor Murphy has developed a sort of press operation and an internal office within Stormont. He's claimed funding for that, which was always available, but is quite unusual for a Sinn Féin politician to do on his own. And at the same time, that happened a few months ago, Michelle O'Neill was asked if she thought that the roles of deputy party leader and deputy first minister at Stormont should always be combined. And she said, no, they're separate roles. So I think that reading the runes, particularly after the leadership challenge from John O'Dowd, it is very clear that if we get a Stormont deal, Sinn Féin is considering nominating Conor Murphy as its deputy first minister.
So he would be the Deputy First Minister in Northern Ireland, and Michelle would be the Deputy Leader.
Would remain. Yes, she would remain the Deputy Leader. Now, that is that's pure Kremlinology on my part, but it looks crystal clear.
And why would they do that? What would be the benefit for that party?
I mean, I think that there has been some criticism of Michelle O'Neill. I think that some of that criticism has been unfair. She's criticised for doing a job she never had the chance to do. But the fact is that... another criticism of Michelle O'Neill is that she wasn't keen to get back to Stormont. This was perceived as part of John O'Dowd's leadership challenge, that he was keener. That's not really the case either. Michelle O'Neill was always very keen to get a Stormont deal. She just hasn't been able to really get it over the line with certain elements of the party. So I think that there is a feeling that Conor Murphy would be better able to promote and work that deal with Sinn Féin, should there be one.
You're also predicting in the same article a change of leadership within the DUP. The headline here, Arlene Foster's leadership off the DUP has been a catastrophe. You're suggesting possibly Edmund Poots?
Yep, my understanding is that Foster is actually would actually see Poots as her preferred successor, but that also a large number of people within the DUP think that they don't want another former Ulster Unionist Party leader in the shape of Geoffrey Donaldson. That would be he's long been rumoured as the assumed successor. The people within the party are thinking, well, you know, if we're going to have to sell a deal to hardliners that we couldn't do last time, perhaps we need someone from our more traditional party base. It's a sort of St Andrews philosophy kind of thinking that, you know, it's going to take figures like Paisley and McGuinness to sell a deal rather than the baby barristers of the former UUP defectors. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that thinking within the DUP is going to win out, but there are problems with assuming that Geoffrey Donaldson can just step into Foster's shoes. The Alliance surge in Lagan Valley, for example, means that his Westminster constituency is no longer a guaranteed victory for the DUP in a by-election, should Geoffrey Donaldson have to stand down. And also, of course, Mrs. Foster doesn't want to go, or is not going to. She's not going to just step happily into retirement. There's no party conference until the end of this year, which is the natural opportunity to gently remove her. So there's going to have to be some kind of heave against Foster if she's going to go, and that's really not something that any party wants to do just as it's about to set up a new executive or if there's a prospect of an assembly election.
Amanda, Conor Murphy, new role in Sinn Féin possible, and Edmund Poots in the DUP. What do you reckon?
Well, well, it could be a possibility. I think with Conor Murphy, you know, whenever Michelle O'Neill was picked to take over from Martin McGuinness, a lot of people were surprised that perhaps it wasn't Conor Murphy. You know, you see that he's chief negotiator, he's there, you know, he's right in the mix, and perhaps he brings, whereas Michelle O'Neill is that sort of new generation Sinn Féin politician, perhaps he brings that sort of from the McGuinness stable, that old generation of Sinn Féin. The border, he's been around a long time, and perhaps with the different election results that Sinn Féin's experienced recently, they may feel as if they need that balance in the north between the old and the new. But I do think that Michelle O'Neill has been subjected to a good bit of misogynistic attitudes in terms of, you know, who she to take over from Martin McGuinness, and she has had it tough in the context of her taking over such a prominent role within Sinn Féin. And when it comes to Edwin Putz, again, he's the person that's, you know, put forward to speak on behalf of the DUP in these negotiations. He's a sort of had health ministries before that has been trusted in senior roles. But Geoffrey Donaldson, you know, would seem the more obvious choice to me, but perhaps that's the curveball that could be coming down the line. But I wouldn't think that Arlene Foster's going anywhere anytime particularly soon, because there's no way that the DUP would want it to look as if you know, Republicans had forced Arlene Foster out of office, no matter how tumultuous her leadership has been since she took over.
Okay, Amanda Ferguson and Newton Emerson, thank you both very much.